Hello, everyone. It's Jenny's Tattle Tales, and I am Jenny Heckman. I am the award-winning paranormal romance author of the Heaven and Earth series, and this is my video blog slash podcast where we talk about all things writing. We talk about authors new and old, and we talk about their work as well as lifestyle. So I wanted to welcome you here today, and thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, everyone. It's Jenny Heckman here. And today on Jenny's Tattle Tales, we have Desiree Holt and Liz Crowe. And they write contemporary romance. And the subgenre of this book is sports romance. And the name of the book is Numbers Game. I'm so excited to have you both here. We've never had a collaboration together, so this is going to be really fun. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thanks.
All right. So I guess the very first question is collaborations. There's not a lot of authors that do that unless you're doing an anthology. So how did this get started?
Well, Liz and I have known each other for a long time. And we met online, I think, and different things, her books, my books. We were in different groups together. We actually met in person for the first time when she was still living in Ann Arbor. And I went to Ann Arbor with my kids for a Michigan football game because I am an addict. And so we just kind of kept the thing going. And we had talked about collaborating on a book. And she said, and she knows how much of a fan I am. She said, if you will write this book with me, I will get you a football signed by Jim Harbaugh. And she did.
It's her. No. Wow.
How can I say no?
Right.
I have collaborated a couple times before with authors. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bumpy, but this collaboration I thought went very, very smoothly.
Oh, that's so good. That's so great. It's nice when you have somebody that has kind of the same ways of writing, same way of doing things, and you can kind of be together. That's great.
And here's an interesting thing, Desiree. I was going to email you this, but I'll just tell you now. I'm counting now. I'm on almost two hands. I can count people who are asking me when we're writing the next one.
Oh, nice. That's such a great compliment. That's so great. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And when did the book come out?
This week.
It's out now. Okay.
Yeah, it came out Thursday.
Came out Thursday.
God, I'm sorry. It came out Tuesday.
Tuesday. Lovely. Mm-hmm. That's so great. My Warriors Progeny book is also about football. Is yours about football? Is that the sport? Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. Cool. Yeah, it's fun because you have to do some research, right? You have to go to a couple games. And
So, for me, I mean, I was never like a dedicated football fan growing up. Even when I went to Michigan, it was fun going to the games and I loved cheering for the team. But when I moved to Tampa, Florida in 1980, the Buccaneers had just come here 4 years before that, and everybody was Buccaneers crazy. And I thought, what the hell are they watching this for? And I bought a book called How to Watch a Football Game.
How to Watch a Football Game.
I should have read that because I don't watch it.
A lot of that is, well, yeah, and your football is soccer and stuff, so.
It diagrams and explains all the plays and everything.
I need that book. I don't know anything.
And when Sunday came, I sat down to watch the books. I had the book open on my lap, and I thought, oh, my holy God, I understand what's going on.
Oh.
And I became an addict after that. From Friday night to Sunday night, I would watch every pro and college game that I could get. People knew not to call me. People knew not to come see me. And it became a real addiction. Yeah. So writing a book about football for me was really a love affair.
Oh, I love that. That's great. It's really good. And football's a great game. So, I mean, it really is a metaphor for life, really. There's a lot of different parts of football that are pretty incredible. So here's kind of a quirky question for you. What do you love that most people don't like and wouldn't understand why you do?
This?
Oh. Yikes.
Didn't know they were going to be hard, huh?
Gosh. Let me think about that one a minute. Brussels sprouts?
Oh. But a lot of people don't. So that is a really,
yeah, I'm honestly trying to think. I mean, I'm a huge sports fan. I consume a lot of sports. My kids all played sports. So I watched football. My daughter played soccer in college, you know, lacrosse. My one other daughter played lacrosse in high school. And I'm nothing but sports. And when we lived in England, we became big soccer fans when the kids were little. I like rugby. Not a lot of people understand that.
Yeah, I understand that. My nephew plays rugby, and that is a pretty, and I just watched Invictus again. I haven't seen that in a while. And oh gosh, it's one of those sports that is just so rough and powerful and everything. So it is.
I mean, I guess, yeah, for sure. I mean, and there are two sets of rules. So you got to know which one you're watching, rugby league or rugby union.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And they have different rules. They have slightly different rules. So, yeah, I like that. I don't know. I can't think of anything else that I like that people maybe don't like other than that and Brussels sprouts. I love Brussels sprouts.
I do, too. You can make those phenomenal, and a lot of people don't like them.
Yeah, so I know. And they're very good for you, too.
Yeah. How about you, Desiree? Do you got one?
Here I got something that I don't like.
No, something that you love that most people don't like and wouldn't understand why you do. Got anything? It's kind of a hard question.
Not really. I mean, I have an eclectic taste. I like so many different things. Mostly people say to me, how do you like so much of everything?
Well, that in itself is a little bit different. I mean, you know, a lot of people just, they order their same drink. They have their same menu items. They do their same. So being eccentric and eclectic is a great thing.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What are two or more of your all-time favorite books in what genre? It could be any genre, but.
Go ahead, Des.
Your two favorite books.
Ready to go? Yeah, okay. My two favorite books in the world are The Border by Don Winslow. I read pretty much every genre, really. And he is one of my absolute favorite authors. I've read everything in his ginormous backlist. He was a journalist, and he writes a lot about the drug trade and the drug traffic in Mexico specifically. He wrote a trilogy about it. He wrote one book while he was kind of in the throes of his backlisting, and then he kind of started to pick up steam, and he wrote this one called The Border. It's like this big. I love big giant books.
Yeah.
Bigger the better. And it is amazing. Oh. Amazing. It's well researched, it's rich in characters, it's realistic. I like that.
Yeah.
And my other one would be anything by Margaret Atwood.
Oh,
pick one.
Of course, right?
Probably my favorite of hers, though, is The Robber Bride. It's a little less known than some of the others. Yeah, it's called The Robber Bride. And she wrote it, one of her earlier books. Wow. I love a book that's also rich in complicated relationships.
Yeah.
There's no romance involved. There is. I mean, there's relationships. She doesn't write romance novels, obviously. But I love the way, though, she weaves that in to everything she does. I would read her grocery list.
She is a brilliant storyteller. Tell me again, who was the name of the first one?
The Border by Don Winslow.
I'm going to write
He also has a book that's going to be made into a movie pretty soon called The Force. That's his most recent one. The Force. It's a really, really gritty, almost hard to read book about the New York Police Department. It's kind of a harsh realism look at it. It's going to make a great movie, I think.
Oh, nice. Nice.
But The Border is it's cartels, you know, and it's based loosely on the, who's the guy? Drawn a blank, you know, the famous one. He covered it, the whole story behind this guy. You know, he owned the soccer team. I'm blanking out on him. Anyway, the famous one.
Okay.
So he actually had a soccer player shot and killed.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Yeah, so so it's all loosely based on that, because that's what he covered forever. He worked Wall Street Journal, I think, and Esquire magazine. He wrote for. So yeah,
oh, wow,
excellent storyteller. If you like that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I have it down. All right, Desiree, how about you? Do you have a favorite book?
I have two. The first one is not even a romance; has nothing to do with it. It's called "Trustee from the Tool Room" by Neville Shute, who wrote on the beach about nuclear destruction. No, not on the beach. There was another one. But anyway, it is the most feel-good book I have ever read in my entire life. And it shows you what the innate goodness in man is about. I have read that book at least 400 times already. I could read it 400 more, because you finish it and you want to just cheer and say, yes, yes, that's what it's about. My other favorite book is called Cry No More by Linda Howard. And I started writing, although I planned to do it for a long time, right after I retired. And that's before we had digital books. So I belonged to the Doubleday Book Club, and I would order my books every month. And I always thought that I would write a mystery, write romance, mystery with elements of romance, something like that.
Yeah.
So I had everything all planned out. And when I sat down to write my first book, I started writing, which is what they tell you to do. And 3 months later, I had 3 chapters. That was it. And I didn't like any of them. I just got this book called Cry No More by Linda Howard. I stayed up till 4 in the morning to finish it. And I said to my husband the next morning, this is what I want to read. And I wrote Moving Target to create my own version of Diaz, the hero in Cry No More. So those are like my two most favorite books. I would tell everybody in the world to read Trustee from the Tool Room, because it shows you how life can be good for the average person, and how if you are good and you believe that life can be really good. There's scenes in there. I'll cut this short, because I know, you know, we had a lot to do, but this man who is trying to find his sister and his brother-in-law, their yacht crashed in the South Pacific, and he wants to find them for a lot of reasons, and nobody will help him. And so he's out there on this stripped down sailboat with this guy who doesn't even read. And you have to read the whole background about how all these people came to help him. And this guy that reads the articles he writes in the magazine contacts somebody else, and they contact somebody else. And there are these two people sitting on this stripped down sailboat in the harbor, and they can't even get past customs. And all of a sudden, this huge, expensive yacht pulls in, and the captain comes off the boat, and he goes to talk to the customs people. And pretty soon he comes out on the boat where the two guys are, and everything is taken care of. I mean, he's a little man who brought pleasure to a lot of very powerful people who all came to help him with this. And it just, I love it. I just love it. Oh, I'm done with the commercial. Okay.
No, I love that. That's great. It shows your enthusiasm for it. You both have written a lot of books. I mean, you guys both have. So here's I don't typically get to ask this question, because most of the people that come on are newer writers and things, but do you have a crazy fan experience?
Oh, yes, a lot of them.
Probably Desiree's better at this one than me, so I'll let her take it away.
I think the one that stands out in my mind the most is when I was mostly writing erotic romance, and I was conducting a workshop at a conference, and I went through all the questions and everything, and this guy who was in there raised his hand, and he said to me, I have a question. I said, yes. He said, have you actually done all the things that you write about in your book? Yes, but look at me. I'm only 25 years old. I chased me down in a hotel one time, in a hotel corridor, because she wanted a t-shirt like I had on. She wanted to know if she could have the t-shirt I was wearing. I mean, it's just, you just roll with it, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like the conferences are the common denominator there, which I love conferences. That's pretty funny. Okay, so who is your biggest cheerleader, whether here on earth or angel in heaven?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Who is your biggest cheerleader, either here on earth or an angel up in heaven? Who's your biggest cheerleader? Who's the person that really drove you to do what you do? Do you have somebody that's your support that promotes?
My late husband. He was the biggest supporter. He just encouraged me. We don't even have time for me to tell you all the things that he did. But I will tell you this, he was very ill for a long time before he passed away. In the last 6 months when he was at home, bedridden, and every single day he would say to me, I want you to promise me something. When I'm gone, I want you to get up every morning, feed the cats, and sit down at that computer. I don't care if you only write one page a day. I want you to promise me that you'll do it. And he said that every day. Aww. And after he passed away, it was very hard for me because he was the light of my life. Yeah. But I could hear his voice in my head. And that's what got me through it. And on this.
I love that. That's so great. That's what makes the people in our lives so special. That's really, really awesome. Really cool. How about you? Liz? You have a big cheerleader?
Yes, I do. I would say I have a couple. My husband bounces between being a cheerleader and being frustrated with me. but probably my biggest cheerleader is a friend of mine from college, a fellow English major, my sorority sister. We would always joke about being the only two English majors in a group or whatever. And she now teaches high school English in the Syracuse, New York area. And when I first started this crazy thing of writing books, she was one of the first to read the stuff, the absolute garbage that I was writing, and was super sweet about it, you know, and made some excellent suggestions and has been there for me since then. I mean, through the good and the bad, the up and the down. I mean, I went through a period recently where I had to back away from social media and some stuff, and you know, she was always there, you know, and in ways that, while, you know, my husband is, but he's also kind of at the same time, like, either prodding me to do more or telling me to stop spending so much money on ads that don't work. The ROI, he talks. He's a quality engineer. So it's kind of a data thing. And it's like, I have no data, honey. It's publishing. There is no data.
Yeah.
If you can figure out a way to make this a truly profitable thing that's consistent, you need to bottle it and sell it to New York City because you will be a millionaire.
Yeah, it really is a bunch of trial and error, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's one thing he's trying to figure out, because one formula works for this person doesn't always work for another person.
Right. Or it'll work tomorrow, yesterday, and it won't work today. I mean, it's that level of flaky, if you will, kind of in terms of consistency. But he and I are plotting a series. He likes to feed me ideas, and he's fed me a lot of ideas. For like the Love Brothers series that I wrote that's set in Kentucky, our home state. He fed me that idea and helped me, you know, flesh out the brothers in the situation. And then he and I are coming up with a series that we're gonna self-publish together. I said, okay, Mr. Man, you know so much, you come up with the program. He's like, fine, I will. So he's doing all the research now and trying to figure out, but in the meantime, he and I are coming up with a series. We're gonna more or less write it together.
Oh, that's great,
yeah.
That's fun.
Car business. Intense. It's going to be in racing, but it's going to be a family of daughters who are doing the racing, and then a story. Each book will be about each one of them and their relationship story.
That is such a great twist. That's a great twist. And him being in the car business too.
Oh yeah,
he's making me so
for research. What we did last night was we watched the first three episodes of Formula One, which is a series.
That's what my
Netflix.
Husband's watching right now.
And that's super cool. I mean, it's a super high level, and we're trying to decide if we're going to let our youngest female character actually get to that pinnacle or not, or be almost there, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But back home, it's going to be set in Kentucky. That's what we know, right? It's going to be the garage that her family owns will be from her grandfather, who opened the garage because he was a bootlegger. And he was the guy where you came to get your car souped up so that you could escape the cops with your hooch. So So yeah, it's gonna have a light. We like nice deep backstories and sort of full cast of characters. So it'll be a multiple book thing.
Oh, you know,
so that's his level. But he's like, I'm gonna figure out how to market this. I'm like, awesome.
Yeah. You go do the work, honey. Cool. That's awesome. That is a great way to,
I kept saying, you put your money where your mouth is. You think you know how to do this, you figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, there's authors that have been doing it for decades and decades and decades that have hundreds and hundreds of books out, but they still, you know, don't know how to do it. So it's,
yeah, he's like, there's gotta be data. I'm like, there's not data about everything. Yes, there is. I'm like, fine, go find it.
Yeah,
that's his
assignment. He's a technical thinker, isn't he?
He's an engineer. Engineer. So yeah. Yes.
So it's, you know, there's got to be linear data or something. There's got to be whatever. It's not he's going in a creative world, so it's
exactly. So, yeah. But it's cool though, because he can come up with, like, if I'm stuck on something, I can text him and be like, hey, what is this person doing right now? And he'll say, and he'll throw something out, and it works. So.
So, okay, now how, in your book, do you have a favorite character, and why, you know, who's the character and why do you like them?
Liz?
Well, Desiree and I wrote this book in a back and forth. Like, we took, one thing we decided right away is that we should each take a point of view and write from it, okay? So the book is in back and forth, male, female point of view. Oh. And Desiree wrote Olivia's female point of view, and I wrote that Coach Hatcher's, or Hatch, I wrote his point of view. And so we come at this question from a bit of a disadvantage, right? So, because I mean, obviously I'm like, of course I love my guy. He's awesome. He's funny. He's a little self-deprecating. He's screwed up a lot of things, but he's ready to like recover himself. I do love him a lot. But I will have to say there's a side character that if I were going to launch a side book out of this, I would do it. And it's his friend from college. It's a guy who played football with him. His name is Tank.
Hank, great name.
He's cool. He's cool. If I were casting it in a movie, he would be that guy, John Brennan. I think he's from The Punisher. Like, he's got that face.
Oh, yeah.
That's Tank.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So, and he's you know, he's he could have played in the pros right out of college, but he went to the military instead, and ended up like in spy ops or whatever. And he left the military. You know, honorary, just, you know, he left when his term was up, and he owns and runs basically a spying operation. You know, it's all sort of internet based.
Oh.
And he's a total smartass, and I love him.
That's a great guy. Oh, yep. Cool. That's good. How about you, Desiree? Do you have a favorite character from the book?
Yeah, my favorite is Olivia's friend Leanne, who is really modeled after my friend Margie, who has been my friend for 10 or 11 years. She's also my beta reader. She is my very best friend, and her personality is a lot like Margie. She's very supportive, but she doesn't hesitate to tell her when she's full of shit. So it's just, yeah.
Everyone needs a friend like that. Everyone needs a friend like that. Just centered and in your place.
Yep.
Oh, that's really great. So, you know, I am a little intrigued. So what was your process in writing? So did somebody write a chapter and then send that off? Is that how it kind of, how you did the collaboration? And then
it is.
Somebody fed off that and then and that's how you did it. Wow.
Yeah, it worked out that way. And it started out as something else entirely. Am I right, Des? We started out writing a romantic suspense because that's Des's sort of real area of expertise. I've never done a whole lot of that, so I was kind of intrigued to give it a try. And we started in that direction. And you know, these characters just didn't lend themselves. And we were like coming up, I remember at one point we were trying to come up with the hook, you know, the sort of moment of peril at the end, and it just wasn't working. It wasn't working.
We tried it with the whole plot, with his gambling and the whole thing and all these. It just didn't work.
You know, bad guys and mafia, you know, trying to debts and all this stuff. And it just wasn't working with these characters. And so we are nothing if not a slave to our muses. And I like the fact that when we both figured that out, we were like, yeah, let's dump that and go somewhere else with it.
Oh, okay. So how far into your novel were you when you made
it? Far.
No, okay. So it was at the beginning and you realized it right away and you were just, okay, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. And then we literally did back and forth. One, her perspective, his perspective, her perspective, his perspective. And it, worked out pretty well, I think.
The characters met. How did you write those scenes? When
from the perspective of whoever you were writing from.
Whoever you're writing. Okay, cool. Right. Oh, that's really great.
Neither Desiree or I are headhoppers in our writing, so we you know, we can keep it kind of to the right perspective and stay in the right head, you know.
Lovely. Oh, that's great. That's really, it's a great, sounds like it's really a great.
It's a very smooth process. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm writing in a genre that I almost never write because I write 99% romantic suspense. And Liz and I had never written together before. And I've only collaborated a couple of other times in my entire writing life. But it just, I am amazed at how smoothly it went.
Yeah.
I think a key thing was we were patient with each other. You know, we were both busy, you know, and we were like, okay, I would send her something. She's like, all right, it's going to be like 3 weeks before I can get to this, you know, and I'm like, fine, it's whatever, you know, and she was the same way with me. So that was key.
Yeah. Well, that's great too, that you understood. I mean, I think that's a problem when you have it's brave to say that's not working and let's just kind of dump this and start again. I mean, that's
right.
Make the decision too, as two authors together. That's pretty impressive that you both came to it at, you know, a similar mm-hmm. time. That's pretty great.
That was great. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to really like and respect each other.
Yeah.
For it.
That's half the battle. That's really great. Is there, so you talk about genres that you had never written before or you hadn't written much of before. Is there a genre that you haven't written yet that you would like to try?
Not for me. I'm very happy where I am.
Yeah, I am too, but I am going to venture out of it. And that lady right there is the reason. She's got her, is it the Phoenix Agency, Des, that you're got your world there that I'm going to write into. And it's going to have a touch of the paranormal. I have never, ever written that. And I'm not, to say I'm not a fan of it is not true. There's some that I like, but there's very few that I like. And so I just kind of stay away from it. You don't like, why read it, you know? And I only write books that I would want to read. Like I will never be untrue to myself as a reader. So I would never just write into something just because it's popular. I just can't do that.
I'm going to give it
a go. It's going to have a light touch of that. And what's funny, and this is an aside, another really great book. I just finished the whole series. I just binged the whole series is, Samantha Jones, I think, The Bone Season.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Right. So you know, so that's all. That's paranormal fantasy, epic, you know, the whole thing that has no romance whatsoever. But it's about psychics and how the whole thing is about if you are that person, if you are psychic in any way, you are going to go to jail. You're the bad guy, right? So I was in the middle of reading that when Desiree says, hey, I've got this thing, you should write into it, you know, give it a go. And so the only catch is that we want every story to have this element that someone has some level of that psychic ability. I'm like, no, you can't do that. That's bad. But now that I'm past that, reading that, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for 2020 next year. I can't fit it in this year, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny because I never really wrote paranormal. I mean, I hadn't even done my Shifter books by then. But when I was writing for Laura's Cave, they decided that they wanted something that was not totally erotic. And they started an imprint called the Lotus Circle. And the Lotus Circle is centuries old. And it started by, it's only women who have some type of psychic ability. So someone in your book had to have a psychic ability, which I didn't know anything about. So I had to do some research. And in the first book, my heroine was a romance writer. in love with a Delta Force team leader who is captured by terrorists in Peru because some crooked politician blew their mission and nobody knows where he is and nobody is going to look for him because of the politics, but the two of them can communicate telepathically. She is the only person that knows where he is and that can try to get somebody to find him and rescue him. So that's how I got into it. It was only supposed to be a one book thing, once and done. I have just started book number 11 in this series. So, it just took off, but it's not extreme. It's a simple psychic thing. I can explain it. One of my heroines reads auras. So she can look at somebody and tell whether they're nice or they're an evil person. I did a thing about a psychic healer. I did one about remote viewing, which is very big with the government. If you ever can't sleep at night, there's an article online called Report to Congress on Remote Viewing. I promise you, 2 pages in, you'll sleep for 10 hours. But that's how I got into it. And I deliberately did not make it complicated because I wanted my readers not to be turned off by it.
Yeah.
So Liz, all you have to do is what a lot of people do. And what I do when I'm looking for new plots is I Google psychic abilities and I pick one that's not too difficult to work with. And I build my story around it.
Yeah.
There's also a really good book called The Light Between Us by Laura Lynn Jackson. And she's she does a lot of different psychic abilities. So she does a lot of different things. And she tells you from her perspective and her point of view, her story and how she sees things and does things. And it might be a good resource if you're looking at that kind of thing, because it's all about that kind of thing. So it's...
What's it called again? The Light Between Us?
The Light Between Us by Laura Lynn Jackson. And if you get actually the audiobook of it, she narrates it. So it's a... Cool. Kind of interesting from her own voice. Okay. Interesting book. So one thing, you just sitting here listening to you guys talk about your books and getting them out, you guys have written so many books, and I don't know how you do it. I never understand how people get so many books out in a year. How do you balance everything? How do you get these books out and write them so quick? Are your books fairly meaty? I mean, how do you do it?
My books run anywhere from 40 to 90,000 words, depends on what I'm writing.
Yeah.
I spent 5 years of my life working for a group of weekly newspapers when I lived in Michigan as a stringer, which means you get assignments and you get paid by the column inch. Okay. And then it's like you get the assignment at 10:05 and they want it by 10:25. So you learn to write fast, you learn to research. And I did that for 5 years. Then I worked for 2 universities in public relations. And I ended up writing speeches for people and stuff like that. And all of that teaches you how to condense and write and how to write to a deadline. So by the time I sat down to write a book, I already had developed these habits. But the other thing is that writing is like my crack cocaine. I mean, I love every minute of it. And I have the ability, fortunately, which God gave me, to be able to write fast. I was behind on a book that was actually due last week that I just sent to my editor yesterday, but I ended up writing 27,000 words in 3 days.
Wow. Those long days.
But that's what I do. I love it. I mean, some people like to play bridge. Some people like to shop. Some people like to knit. Some people like to do a lot of things. I love to write. It's what makes me feel alive. And I live in the lives of my characters. Yeah. I tell them, I can sit down at my desk and I can do anything I want.
Yeah.
I can go surfing. I can go big game hunting. I can go skiing in the Rockies. I can run off with 3 men. I can do anything I want in the pages of my book. Yeah. And for me, when I say it's like my crack cocaine, it really is. I enjoy every minute of it.
Oh.
And I don't know what I do. I have a problem, which I don't really talk about very much. And that is that I have advanced rheumatoid arthritis. So typing becomes difficult for me because I can't bend my fingers the way I did, and a couple of them don't work, but I work around it, you know, and I take breaks.
Yeah.
But I would rather write than do anything else in the world. And I enjoy every minute that I've at my computer, and my brain never shuts off.
But then how do you do all your marketing stuff then? Do you have an assistant that does all your marketing for you, and then you don't have to, you can just do the writing and?
I do a lot of social media myself because there's just so much to do, but I have the most wonderful assistant in the world, Maria Connor. She's also Roxanne St. Clair's assistant. And Rocky introduced us at a conference 4 years ago, and I told her I should pay her $1 million for it. Maria is wonderful, and she takes care of stuff, and she does 90% of the stuff that needs doing. There's some stuff I have to do because she just can't create it, you know? But yes, she does. Otherwise, I'd probably be in an institution.
And how about you, Liz?
I don't have an assistant. I started writing probably when I was at my busiest point in my life, which is an oxymoron. And in a lot of ways, it was good. In a lot of ways, it was very not good. But that's just when the muse hit me. And so I had just founded a brewery and I was trying to get that open. I knew a lot of people. Anyway, it's a long story, but I was working on a blog. I was doing all the social media. Basically, we opened this brewery on a shoestring. And so I had to work my contacts and was working. Social media was just coming into popularity, like about 2009, right? So I was utilizing that and had this blog and doing all that. And opening a brewery and then running an events room and all these things. I had kids left, right, and center doing sports, one graduating from high school, going to college. I mean, it was honestly, I don't know how I did.
Yeah, right?
and certain things, I will have to say, probably got sacrificed in the mix. And I don't necessarily recommend the way I did it to people. Because here's my problem. I don't know that I love every minute that I'm doing it, but I can't, when I'm doing it, I can't stop.
Yeah.
So I have this, I'm a marathon writer.
Yeah.
I will go months without writing a word.
Yeah.
No problem. You know, I'll work on my website. I'll work on the market. I find, but I also write for magazines. So I'm never not writing, if you will. I write about alcohol, sort of one of my areas of expertise, if you will. I just started writing for a blog out of Louisville too. So I'm doing that. But for actual novel writing, I ponder it, I come up with it, and then I sit down and then I'm lost. I'm gone. I dive into it. Like when my kids were younger and I was doing this, you know, they'd be like talking to me and then they'd be like, okay, it's pizza again tonight because mom's not here anymore, you know? So it was a sacrifice, you know? And it was, again, I don't necessarily recommend doing it that way. It was hard. It was hard on a lot of people, including me. So now, empty nest, got some space, took some time away from it for some reasons, and then I'm back and happy to be back sort of, you know, at this level, working with Desiree and working on my craft. I'm taking kind of a mini master class in thriller writing too. So, you know, so that's cool. But I write, Desiree and I write, both write very fast. I wrote in the middle of a lot of other things, I wrote a 50,000 word romance in like a week.
Wow.
But I'm not bragging. Okay. That's just how I do it. And it's, I sit down and that's all I do. Like I'll take breaks or whatever. I walk the dog, you know, every now and then, you know, that kind of thing. But it's just how I plow through. I can't stop. I'm not an organizer or a plotter though, really. So yes. I start with a concept and some characters and then that's wherever they take me. That's where that book goes. That's not necessarily how the book ends up. If I go back, I've done some changes, whatever, but to get the words out, I just sit down and do it.
And so
but I do all my own social media stuff. I mean, I may get to a point, you know, I'm exploring the concept of having someone help me. I'm a little bit anal about my online presence, you know, so I've got to find someone who kind of gets that about me. I think I could find somebody eventually, you know, we were talking earlier, if we make this move and I end up just doing this and nothing else, because right now I'm still doing some consulting. Some social media stuff, consulting with some breweries and some whatnots, and I do fundraising for the Humane Society. So my other love, which is animals. So I still have a lot of irons in the fire, if you will. It's not as complicated because there are no kids around that I have to cart to soccer practice or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are Desiree. That's why I think we mesh really, because we kind of think about writing in the same way. Right. Well, I may not love every minute of it, I'm doing it. It's hard for me to stop once I start.
That so you sense? Go online.
Like cocaine, cocaine in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you go in and you lock yourself in a room and you...
Oh, no. I go, I don't lock myself in a room. No, I don't do that. And someone asked me once, where do you write? Do you have to have a special place? I'm like, if it's a horizontal surface for my laptop, I'm writing on it. I have literally written, I have written tons of words sitting in my car or watching at a soccer practice. I spent so much of my life from the time my daughter who's 22 now, she's in veterinary school, but when she was from second grade on, she played soccer and all the way through, like Olympic training. I mean, she did the whole and ended up D1, like made her goals. That's a lot of soccer practice time. That is let me tell you.
And I had a basketball player. I know exactly. Yep.
So, you know, so I did a whole lot of just holding the laptop on my lap and doing some writing. I don't have to have a special place. That's for sure.
Wow.
Not at all.
I just realized, oh my gosh, you guys must be just like, you're fascinating to talk to. So we're going a little long. I'm so sorry.
I think okay.
Other things go. You guys are fascinating. So it's fun to talk. I guess I'll end with, so the last question is, what would you most like to say to the readers out there?
Liz, you want to go first?
Thanks. You know, we do this for you. I do this for myself, and there's my dog. You're probably here. Sorry. I'm surprised she's been quiet this long. Thanks.
Well, my husband just came in. I told you.
Oh, see now, wait. I'm good. working right here. No, thank you for hanging in there. You know, I appreciate every time you recommend me to somebody. That's one more reader for me. So what I hope that I can continue to make you happy with what I write for you. Thanks.
I love it. And how about you, Desiree?
I would say basically the same thing. I love my readers. I want to thank them for reading my books, for recommending them, for emailing me, for posting on social media, because I really write for them. Mm-hmm. I want to write stories that they will enjoy reading. And when they do, that is my greatest gift.
Oh, I love that. I love that. You know, you said something about how you you get to go and be a surfer and you get to go and do all those things. My grandfather, right before he passed away, he told me he wanted his name in my books so that he could continue his journey.
Yeah,
he has nice. Been a surfer and he has been a form of his name in every one of my books.
So, oh, that's cool.
Nice.
I love it.
Very nice.
Okay. Well, you know, I really just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on. You guys have been, like we were talking before, it's so great to get to know authors this way and you become flesh and blood kind of people. And it's really, really wonderful. And I just really wanted to say thank you so much for coming on. And if you guys want to read any more or go on and see any more of their books, Liz Crow, her site's a little bit under construction. She's got some place holders there, but her website will be up and running again here.
May 13th.
May 13th?
Mm-hmm.
May 13th. All right. And then DesireeHolt.com. You can go on her website as well and see all of her amazing, amazing books. You've been doing it a long time. You've got so many books. It's awesome. So thank you guys. Really, I appreciate every moment. This is
one more thing I want to say about my website too. I have a bookstore on my website and there's a lot of books in there that are not available anywhere except in my bookstore. They're books that I've written before that I've recycled and that's the only place they're available. So you go on my website and click on Books by Desiree, it'll take you to the store.
Okay, and that was DesireeHolt.com. So go on. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much. Really, really appreciate it. Have a great
day. Thank you. You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, I think that's going to wrap it up for Jenny's Table Tales today. I hope you have an absolutely splendid day, and I want to really thank you for joining me, and I hope to hear from you and see you next time.